Doug messed up, yeah. Didn't he? 1 point for the women.
Hey!
I don't know who it was wrote it or by whose pen it was signed. Someone once said, and I quoted, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. Harness before and behind, but till you kneel at that altar, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. Promise anything, anything. Honey, don't swerve, throw 'em a curve, string 'em along till they show you what they got in reserve. Though his bank shows a big balance, and his seems heaven designed, if that boy's short on his talents, it's a woman's prerogative to change her mind. They say precedent makes a thing a law. Hooray, precedent. I can say yes when I mean no. Hard to believe, but they tell me that it's legally so. So don't fret how much you've kissed them, if on their couch you've replied. Don't forget, we've got a system. It's a woman's prerogative to change her mind.
And we'll be back with Easy Aces after this word from our sponsor.
When your tablets get down to four, that's the time to buy some more. The entire family, young and old, recognizes this little rhyme as something really important. When Daddy comes home from the office with a headache, when Mommy wants relief from a touch of acid indigestion or muscular aches and pains, they rely on Alka-Seltzer. It's always fast-acting, effective, ready to bring you the kind of relief you want when you want it. Check your supply. If your tablets are down to four, that's the time to buy some more. See your druggist.
An agreement with Jane that every time I told a joke about her mother, I'd have to pay her a dollar. Barbara Hutton, we called Jane that year. And besides, what happened to me with Jane's mother this week was no joke. It started the other evening after dinner. I was reading the paper and Jane was writing a letter.
Oh my goodness, this doesn't look right. Dear, how do you spell right?
Right?
Yes, I'm answering my mother's letter and I'm having one of my bad spells.
Yeah, well, which way do you mean? Do you mean R-I-G-H-T, and there's R-I-T-E, W-R-I-T-E. How are you using it? What's the word ahead of it?
The word ahead of it is last.
Last, right. That's R-I-T-E. What happened? Why? Who was it?
No, dear. All I'm saying is, dear mother, I'm glad I found time to at last write you.
Oh, last write. Yeah, okay.
I'm answering this letter she sent me. Would you like to hear it?
What's my other choice?
Okay, I will. Oh, but first, let me tell you a very funny story I heard today, dear. There was this fellow, and he found a certain doctor that charged $10 for the first visit and $5 for the second visit. So, when he went to see him for the first time, he said, "Hello, doctor, here I am again."
You heard that today?
Yeah.
For the first time?
Yes, for the first time it was $10, and the second
time it was... Don't explain it, Jane. I got it.
Well, you're not laughing.
Oh, excuse me, Jane.
Well, now that we're all in a good mood, I'll read the letter. Oh, let me get these pages in order. 10, 11, 12. Oh, here we go.
12 pages? They wrote the Declaration of Independence on one page.
Well, they used those quill pens then, dear.
Look, John Hancock, why don't you just condense what she says? How is your mother?
Oh, fair to meddling, she says. Dear, oh, she writes so badly. Yes. Dear Jane, how are you? How is your husband? I hope you are both well and happy. I'm as happy as can be expected since I've been living with your sister and her husband. Of course, I need a new upper plate, a new pair of arch supports, and I could use a new hearing aid. The only thing I don't need is a pair of new glasses, and your sister has to be married to an optician. But you know me. I never complain. Even when your sister's husband opened the kitchen door into my face, I kept a stiff upper lip. Your loving mother, Mother.
That's 12 pages.
P.S.
Oh, of course.
P.S. As I wrote you in my last letter, the doctor said the climate here is not good for me, and I should be near the seashore. So I'm asking if it's all right to come visit you over the holiday.
Wait a minute. She lives in California. Why does she have to come to New York for the shore?
Dear, California's 3,000 miles from the ocean.
Oh, yeah. I never thought of that.
Oh, where was I? Oh, yes. If it isn't at all right for me to come, I'll know it's not your fault. And you can tell him, oh, I think I'll skip this part.
Oh, no, no, I want to hear that. And you can tell him what?
You can tell him for me that I wouldn't ask to come if you hadn't written me that he needed me.
Who? When did I say that?
Last month. Don't you remember when I said, New York is so nice this time of year? I wish my mother was here. And you said, that's all we need is your mother.
Look, Jane, here's what I want you to write her. Tell her she could stay in California.
Wait a minute, dear. I haven't finished reading my letter. Where was I? Oh, yes, that he needed me. I wish you will let me know right away if I can come, because I'm desperate to get away from here. It's a matter of life and, oh, I can't even read that last word. Oh, she says the next sentence, please excuse the shaky handwriting because we've just left the Kansas and the train is going way too fast.
Oh no, isn't that awful? The next morning at breakfast, a telegram came from Pittsburgh. Arriving New York this afternoon at 3:00 your time. If it's too much trouble, don't bother meeting me at the station, as I will probably not have one of my fainting spells right in the middle of the station. And if I should, some stranger will probably find me eventually. And besides, I only have just the 3 bags and a small steamer trunk. Collect mother, love mother.
Well, I guess you're going to have to be too busy today to meet her, so I will.
Yes, I'm too busy. Have you broken the news to our maid yet that your mother's coming?
Mrs. Bell? Oh, she'll love mother. They have so much that's common, you know.
Oh, yeah, I know. Everybody loves your mother. But you better break it to Mrs. Bell gently.
All right. Mrs. Bell!
What is it, Jane?
Can I see you for a minute?
I'm busy, Jane. I'm listening to KCAL on the radio.
Oh! Well, when you're finished, will you please come in?
Okay, Jane.
Listen to the radio? Is that all she does out there in the kitchen?
Well, she has her favorite programs. KCAL is the best, you know. And when they came here, I promised her she could listen.
Okay, Jane, what is it? I was just listening to the story of Laura Winthrop, which poses the problem, can a mother-in-law find happiness having three children and visit each one of them four times a year, or will she have better luck at happiness with having four children and visit each one 3 months a year? How that mother-in-law has loused up Laura's life, they'll do it every time. What is it, Jane?
Well, Mrs. Bell, my mother-in-law's, I mean mother-in-law.
Quiet, dear.
Yeah, quiet, dear. What is it, Jane?
Well, we're expecting a visitor.
Well, congratulations. Where's the cigar?
No, not that kind of a visitor.
It's my mother-in-law. Look, Jane, when I took this job here, you said there would be only two people. It's in my contract.
Huh, contract? What kind of contract?
I carry it with me. I've got it right here.
Of course she does.
I carry it around all the time in times like this. Here it is, clause 3. Party of the first part agrees that party of the second part will have to wait on, serve, clean up after, cook for, make the beds of, and or empty ashtrays from no more than two people at one time.
Who signed a thing like that?
I signed it.
You signed it?
Well, I'm the one who empties the ashtrays, so why shouldn't I be the one who signs it?
But I didn't sign it.
Why should you? What do you do around here?
Well, I'm the one that dirties the ashtrays. Without me, you wouldn't have a job.
Ignorance of the law is no excuse.
Oh, well, I gotta get to work. See you later, Jane.
But dear, what are we gonna do about Mrs. Bell?
Yeah, you girls work that out between you. Goodbye, Jane.
Goodbye, Mrs. Bell.
Now, Mrs. Bell,
Look, Jane, there is no use talking. I like to work for you as long as there's just two of you. But if you're going to ring in a party of the third part, I'm going to strike.
Well, now, wait a minute, Mrs. Bell. Where are you running off to like a chicken with its hat off?
Jane, which is it? Me or your mother? One of us has to go.
Well, after all, my mother is my own flesh and bones.
Okay, Jane, I'm on strike. I'm going downstairs and picket.
Picket?
I'll walk up and down in front of the apartment and tell everybody you're unfair. And you can finish the ironing of those shirts in there while I pick it.
All right. If you're going to strike, do it now. Strike while the iron is hot.
Jane was having a problem at home with her maid. I was having a problem with my secretary at the office. Miss Anderson. She's Jane's cousin, and I'm stuck with her. Around 2:30 that afternoon, Miss Anderson buzzed me on the inner office phone. She had just returned from her lunch hour and a half. Yes?
Mr. Ace, this is Miss Anderson.
Miss Anderson, I think I've explained to you before that this is an inter-office phone which connects your desk out there with mine in here. Nobody else uses this phone. There are no party lines, no extensions, and no coaxial cables. I know it's you, and if I answer, you know it's me. You don't have to say, Mr. Ace, this is Miss Anderson speaking. Just say what you gotta say and hang up quickly.
Oh, are you quite finished?
What do you want?
Mr. Ace, if I weren't Jane's cousin, whom is your wife as well?
Whom is?
I would really resent that you misconstrue everything I say and do. And unless I am sadly misconstrued, you deliberately misconstrue everything I say and do.
There seems to be a lot of unnecessary misconstruing going on around here. What is this misconstrue business?
You know, learn a word a day and use it every way. It's in the newspaper every morning. Today's word is misconstrue. And if I choose to better my vocabulary, are you going to deliberately misconstrue that too?
Look, Miss Anderson,
Every time I buzz you on this inter-office phone, we come to a complete misconstruction.
We do?
Well, I always make a supreme effort to construe you. The least you could do is construe me.
Oh, isn't that awful?
Answering an inter-office phone should in no way be misconstruable. Your misconstructive attitude is breaking down our whole construction.
Construction? What are you building up to? What did you call me for?
Oh, right. Jane is on the phone.
I construe you. Put her on. What I go through with that...
Hello?
Hello, Jane.
This is Jane.
I know who you are. You've been announced. I said, hello, Jane. Now, what is it?
Mrs. Bell is striking.
I wouldn't say striking. Attractive, maybe.
No, I mean she's striking. She says that I'm unfair.
Oh, Jane, I think you're the fairest in the land.
You do, dear? Oh, you do not.
Yes, I do.
You do? Oh, you do not.
Yes, I do.
You do? Oh, you do not.
Okay, I don't.
Well, I knew it wouldn't last.
Jane, what is it? What's on your mind?
I told you. Mrs. Bell went on strike. She's picketing. She's walking to and from in front of the apartment. She's got a big sign that says, Mrs. Ace is unfair. Don't you think that's terrible?
Yes, I do.
You do? Oh, you do not!
Oh, don't start that again.
Well, what shall I do about Mrs. Bell? I have to prepare dinner and she's quit work. And I can't find the roasting pan. I've looked high and dry. And I can't find hide or seek of it. I bet it's right behind me where she put it.
Have you looked in the refrigerator?
Refrigerator? Oh, stop being silly. I'll have to go downstairs and ask Mrs. Bell. But, dear, you'll have to go meet Mother at the station.
Me?
She gets in at 3:00. Now, you be there.
Okay, Jane. I've got a full calendar of appointments and everything. But I have to drop everything and go meet your mother.
Yes.
This is certainly going to misconstrue up my whole day.
Do what?
Learn a word a day, use it every way. Goodbye, Jane. When I got to the station, I found the train would be 2 hours late. It seemed they had to back up at Altoona to pick up a car which had been uncoupled by a little old lady who had complained that the train was going too fast. And while I was waiting for her, Jane was down on the street in front of the apartment trying to find out where the roasting pan was.
Mrs. Ace is unfair to maids.
Mrs. Bell, for the last time, will you tell me where my roasting pan is?
In the refrigerator. Mrs. Ace is unfair to me.
Please, Mrs. Bell, people will hear you.
I want them to hear me. Mrs. Ace is unfair to me.
Well, do you have to holler it like that? The sign you're carrying says the same thing.
I have to holler it for people who can't read.
Oh.
Mrs. Ace is unfair to me.
Well, you're unfair to me. You hid the roasting pan, and the least you can do is find it for me.
I can't go in now, Jane. I'm busy picketing. I gotta carry this sign.
Oh, all right. Give it to me. I'll carry it.
Well, okay, Jane, but hold it up high.
Like this?
That's it, Jane. Way up high so everybody can see it. And you gotta talk it up really good.
What?
Keep saying, Mrs. Ace is unfair to me.
Oh, all right. Mrs. Ace is unfair to me.
Louder.
Do you want me to strain my yokel cords? Mrs. Ace is unfair to me.
That's the ticket, Jane.
Is that better?
Keep walking and talking.
Mrs. Ace is unfair to me. Mrs. Ace is unfair to me. Well, why don't you go find the roasting pan?
Mrs. Ace!
I'm sorry, Jane. I can't cross a picket line.
Mrs. Ace is unfair to me!
Hey, ladies, what's going on, Jane?
Oh, hello, Ken. It's Ken Roberts, Mrs. Bell. Mrs. Ace is
hello,
unfair
Mrs. Bell.
To
Hi, Ken.
Now, what's the trouble here? What does that mean,
Mrs.
you're
Ace
unfair to Maid?
It's in my contract. I only have to serve two people, and now she rings a mother-in-law in on me.
She's my mother, not his mother-in-law, okay? And she's coming to visit me. Mrs. Bell is on strike.
Oh no. Wait a minute. You shouldn't strike about a thing like that. How about a little mediation?
Never touch a thing in the middle of the day.
Oh, no.
Mrs. Ace is unfair to Maid.
No, Mrs. Bell. I mean, you can reach some agreement.
Mrs.
Jane,
Ace is unfair to
can't you make some concession?
I can't make anything. I can't find my roasting pan.
Oh.
Mrs. Ace is unfair to Maid.
You don't understand, Jane. I mean, you can bargain collectively. Like this. Mrs. Bell, suppose Mrs. Ace gave you something extra for the extra person. Now, would that be all right?
Something extra? Like what?
Let me see. You don't live with the Aces now, do you, Mrs. Bell?
No, I have a room. I pay rent.
Well, if they gave you a room to live with them, that would save you rent. Now, would that be okay, Mrs. Bell?
Oh, sure, Ken.
Well, how about it, Jane?
Mrs. Ace is unfair to me.
How about it, Jane?
What? Huh? I wasn't listening. Oh, I just noticed on this sign that Mrs. Ace is in smaller letters than Maids. That's unfair.
Oh, Jane. Mrs. Bell says if you'll give her a room with you, she'll come back to work.
Well, we only have one guest room, and my mother sleeps in there.
Mrs. Ace is unfair to me.
Oh, just wait a minute. I didn't say no. Let me see. If you took the guest room, my mother could sleep with me, and then he could have the couch in the living room. Oh, it's small, but yes, that will work fine. Okay, Mrs. Bell.
Okay, Jane, it's a deal. Let's shake on it.
Huh?
Shake hands on it.
Oh, how do you do, Mrs. Bell?
Finally got them all home, the old lady and the three other bags. I mean, the three bags and the steamer trunk. We got home rather late. We had a little trouble in the taxi. She wanted to uncouple the meter because it was going too fast. Then she asked me if we got her telegram, and I said, oh no, I always go down to Penn Station and watch the trains come in. And all the way home, she kept saying what a lucky coincidence it was. And I kept telling myself, she'll only be here till after the holidays. When we got home, Jane was so happy to see her.
Oh, Mother, I'm so happy to see you.
Happy? Well, if it makes you happy to be happy, then just be happy. It's gonna make me happy to sit down. Oh, just a minute.
Oh. Well, Mother, how was your train trip?
Oh, I got train sick. I should have taken a plane.
Well, why didn't you?
Well, I get plane sick.
Oh.
Well, then why didn't you
say... Oh, what did you say?
I said, did you have nice accommodations on the train?
Oh, yes. Very nice. My daughter, who I was staying with, and California's husband, got me a very nice compartment.
Oh, that's so nice, Mother.
They took really good care of me. They must have told the conductor to do that, because every time the train came into a station, he locked me in my compartment.
Yeah, well, how is everything in California?
Ethel writes me you're very happy out there, Mother.
Oh, happy. Everybody's happy.
Well, do you ever see any movie stars out there?
Movie stars? Oh, Lord. Greer Garson lives one block from us.
Oh.
I wouldn't walk across the street to see her.
Oh.
Irene Dunn lives down the street. I wouldn't walk across the street to see her. Clark Gable lives 8 miles from us. Janie. I need some new arch supports.
All right, Mother, but how about Gregory Peck? Ever see him?
I see him.
Ooh, Jimmy Stewart?
I see him, too.
Oh, but what about Ava Gardner?
I see him, too.
Ava Gardner happens to be a woman?
Well, if it makes him happy to be a woman, like me, let him be happy.
Well, Mother, don't you want to lie down before dinner and take a little sneeze?
Oh, you don't have to bother about me, Janie. I won't be a bother. I've never been a bother. You can ask your sister. I never bothered her. She never bothered about me. What can you expect from children? So if it's going to be a bother, just don't bother, because I don't want to be a bother.
Is that the word for today?
Oh, Mother, you misconstrue me.
Oh, that's the word.
Oh, it won't be a bother, Mother. I won't have to bother. We've got a maid that bothers. Oh. Mrs. Bell. I'll call her. Oh, Mrs. Bell!
What do you want, Jane?
Can you come in a minute and meet my mother?
Just a minute, Jane.
Oh, you've got a maid now, Janie.
Yes, Mrs. Bell.
Are maids expensive, I suppose?
Well, they
are. Well, they don't work for nothing, do they?
Oh, no.
Do you pay her out of your allowance?
Yes, I pay her out of my allowance.
Then it must be a pretty big allowance. Is it, Janie?
Yes, I think it is.
Then if he gives you a big allowance, I suppose he's doing pretty well.
Oh, yes, pretty well, I assume.
Well, when you pay your maid the money you have left, what percentage is it of your allowance?
Percentage?
I mean, say if you gave her $30 a week and you had $30 left over.
Well, something like that, I guess.
Something like that, then that would be 60. Now, would you say 60 is what percentage of his salary every week?
Percentage?
Oh, let me put it this way. How much does...
$150 a week.
Before or after taxes?
Isn't that awful?
Yeah, Jane, here I am.
Come on in, Mrs. Bell. This is my mother, Mrs. Sherwood, Mrs. Bell.
I'm pleased to meet you, Mrs. Bell.
Well, hello, Mom. I'm happy to meet you.
Oh, happy. Everybody's happy. With your money, I'd be happy, too.
What?
Mrs. Bell, Mother has to have something special for dinner.
Special? Like what?
Well, I don't want to be a bother. It's going to be a bother. Just don't bother. Just a boiled egg, that's all.
A boiled egg? That's all you want for dinner?
That's all. On top of the spinach.
Spinach? What spinach?
Well, the spinach that goes with the boiled tongue.
Boiled tongue? I haven't any boiled tongue.
Mother, we're having roast for dinner.
Well, I'll take roast. I don't want to be a bother. There are only a few things I'm allowed to eat. Tongue, roast chicken, hamburger steak, veal chops, duck. And once in a while, a little corned beef and cabbage.
Well, what can't you eat?
Peanut brittle. But if it makes you happy to have peanut brittle, then you be happy.
Well, come on, Mother. I'll show you to your room and you can lie down a while.
All right, Janie. Maybe I better rest a while.
We'll have dinner late, Mother, so you can rest. We'll eat any time you want to.
Oh, it doesn't matter to me, Janie. I'm never hungry anyway. What time is it now?
5:15.
All right, then. Wake me up at 5:30. But if it's going to be a bother, don't bother. I don't want to be a bother.
Oh, you see, Mrs. Bell, she doesn't want to be a bother. And it's only till after the holidays.
Oh, don't worry about me. I can deal with Laughing Girl.
I'm happy to hear you say that, Mrs. Bell.
Well, if it makes you happy to be happy.
Oh, no. Not you too. Well, I want to tell you something. It did my heart good to see that sweet little old lady pack away that dinner. Because if she packs it away like that three times a day, She'll never last till after the holidays. I still didn't know about this arrangement Jane had made for Mrs. Bell to live with us. I should have suspected something when we were sitting around the living room after dinner, and Mrs. Bell had finished the dishes, and she walked in, sat next to me on the love seat, put her feet on the coffee table, took out a cigarette, and turned to me and said,
"How's about a match, dear?"
What?
A match.
Oh, yeah, here. Here you go.
Oh, I didn't tell you, did I, dear?
Tell me what?
Mrs. Bell is going to live with us while Mother's here.
Going to live with us?
Well, she was on strike, and Ken Roberts made up a meditation.
Meditation?
You know, when two people disagree, they have to meditate. So Mrs. Bell is going to live with us.
Just a minute. Let me mediate on that.
$30 a week and she lives here besides?
But Jane, we only have one guest room.
A very good question, dear, and the answer is the living room couch.
Well, what about the living room couch?
Well, somebody has to sleep there.
I think I'll go to my room and lie down.
Room?
Just a minute, Mom. We're still meditating.
We certainly are. Who sleeps on the couch? That's what I want to know.
Just a minute, dear. Now, don't jump to convulsions. Let's figure it out. First, we'll put our heads together.
That's fine. That puts you and me in our bedroom.
Yes. Now, Mother takes the guest room, and Mrs. Bell sleeps on the couch.
Oh, no, Jane.
With the money you make, you could get a penthouse at the Waldorf.
Oh, well, now, wait a minute. We'll figure this out another way. Dear, you and Mrs. Bell will... Oh, no, that won't work. Dear, what if you and Mother... Oh, no, that really wouldn't work. Well, Mother and Mrs. Bell can...
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Now, don't worry, dear. I'll figure it out. Mrs. Bell doesn't want to sleep on the couch, Mother can't sleep on the couch, and I go without saying. So that leaves...
No!
But, dear, it's only till after the holidays.
Yeah, dear, only till after the holidays.
Only till after the holidays. Isn't this awful? Well, all right, I don't want to be a bother. If it's going to be a bother, don't bother bothering. I'll sleep on the couch.
You see, dear, it was so simple.
Yes, I am. Mother, you are going back after the holidays, aren't you, Mother?
Yes, I got my return ticket already.
You wouldn't mind showing it to me.
If it'll make you happy to see it. Here, be happy. There's the ticket. You can see the date punched on it right there.
Where?
Right there. July 5th.
July 5th? Jane, you said only till after the holidays.
Yes, dear. Christmas, New Year's Eve, Valentine's Day, Washington's birthday, Lincoln's birthday. That leaves April Fool's Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, and don't forget Decoration Day.
Yes, till Doomsday. Isn't that awful?